You are listening to the AWOL Sports Podcast. Wes Monell here to talk Super Bowl 52. Here's where the Eagles' advantages lie. Their offensive line going against a mediocre pass rush. Which means Nick Foles will get more time and more opportunities to throw downfield. That's where guys like Nelson Aguilar and Torrey Smith have to take advantage of their situational opportunities when Foles is looking deep. The RPOs that the Eagles are running will force the Patriot linebackers to make decisions, to tip their hands. If they step up after the snap, Foles is going to pass the ball. If they're at a standstill, that O-line's coming at them, and this is an elite offensive line, where these guys can get to the second level and put a body on these linebackers to block for Jay Ajayi, who loves to go off tackle to bounce outside for some bigger gains. Might be a little bit easier to zero in on LeGarrette Blount because he likes to go inside between the tackles. But you kind of don't know what to expect when Corey Clement, the rookie, gets on the field as a change of pace back. He's used to run the ball, he's used in screens, and they even put him out in the slot to run some routes as well. The tight end versus linebacker matchup favors Philadelphia, offensively at least. Zach Ertz, Trey Burton, two very good route runners. These guys catch the ball, they don't drop many, if any. Linebackers on the Patriots, can you tell me one of their names? And we'll even go to the safeties. Devin McCourty is a stud. But last week, we saw another stud that struggled against the Eagles and struggled against Zach Ertz, and that was Harrison Smith. I'm not saying McCourty is going to fall through the same hole in the struggles, but it's possible. Good teams challenge your strengths as well. They don't totally neglect them. But the linebackers and safeties are going to have their hands full, even if they hold their own, going against Ertz and Burton. Alshon Jeffrey going against one of the starting corners. He's going to be facing up against both of them. That's Malcolm Butler and Stephon Gilmore. Good matchup there. Jeffrey was the top three receiver in the 2017 season, going against press coverage. Where the Patriots might have their challenges and some advantages, we all know how great the Eagles' defensive line is because they're not four deep, they're eight or nine deep, something Jacksonville wasn't. So, if you're expecting the Eagles to get gassed in the same way in the second half Jacksonville got gassed, it's not going to happen. But there's two things Brady Bunch can do to negate that, to the best of their ability at least. Brady, he's going to take a page out of Eli Manning's book. When the Eagles played the Giants near the end of the season, the Giants lost the shootout, but they scored a lot of points. Brady is going to try to get rid of the ball by 2.5 seconds. You can't wait till 3. This defense will get to you. These linemen will get to you. So Brady's going to get the ball out by 2, if not 2.5 seconds. And something else they can do is what Atlanta should have done more than they tried to. No huddle offense. Not just to snap the ball right away. Not even thinking in that regard. But to stop Philly from subbing their D linemen. To hinder them from rotating those guys to get those big hogs tired and gassed on these drives. But with that said, when you're going against this kind of a D line, the Patriots might need to pull their running backs and tight ends more to block, even give Brady some max protection. His throws were on the money against Jacksonville in the second half because he had the time to do it. I don't doubt Brady being able to put his throws on target. He's never out of a game, even if he starts off slow like he's done in previous Super Bowls. But the challenge, when the Eagles know you're going to pass the ball, when you give up on the run and become one-dimensional, because they have the best run defense in football. But that shouldn't deter anyone. Minnesota had the best defense ranked in football, and Philly waxed them. Nick Foles threw all over them. 352, three TDs. So even if something's considered a strength, even in the Super Bowl, you challenge it. You don't shy away. You don't neglect it. You might not go, you know, intentionally challenge it all game or throughout the game, but you got to pick your moments. The Patriots, they might get to the point where they're like, oh, well, so what? We got Tom Brady. Josh McDaniels is cocky enough as a play caller. If you think Doug Peterson is aggressive, and he is, because Philly has the best and the most fourth downs converted in football all year, McDaniels will go four or five wide for a whole quarter. Forget it, just a drive. He'll do that for a whole quarter. He's got Tom Brady. And that's what they might have to do to spread that defense out. Yeah. Danny Amendola and Brandon Cooks, they get yak yards after the catch. So how are they going to get that? By challenging the good tackling corners on the Eagles. They're underrated. They can tackle. That's how they complement the good D-line. Get the ball out. They force you to get the ball out quick. They make the tackles. They make the tackles. So Amendola and Cooks are going to have to break a few of these. The tough part is, I know I just said that the running backs and tight ends, which includes Rob Gronkowski, might have to block a little bit more for max protect or to chip, which is not something the Patriots like to do. They kind of leave their five offensive linemen just there to block by themselves. They got to know coming into this game they're at a mismatch. The Vikings found out they had a mismatch, even though they knew it going into the game. They didn't do much to help their right tackle. The Patriots better. Because Gronkowski, he mostly gets involved with plays 10-plus yards down the field. His whole career, he averages double-digit yards per reception. They're not throwing 5-yard plays all the time to Gronkowski. He's used down the field. They don't use them like the Eagles use Ertz. They use Ertz on quick slants and ins and outs and comebacks. Gronk's mostly used after 10 yards. So if Brady's getting the ball out 2.5 seconds, they got to find a way to integrate Gronkowski. I never thought he was going to sit this game. Wasn't really a storyline to me. He had 2 weeks. He was fine. He was going to play from the get. Both offenses, very good this season. Actually, spectacular. Both top 5 points scored in football. And both defenses, both top five in allowing the fewest points in football. Both have sound special teams units, and both challenge your strengths. I will say, when it comes to Philadelphia's offensive play calling and Doug Peterson, they play some vanilla offense in the first half. The second half is when they open it up. It's like they're kind of holding their cards to their chest. They'll take their shots downfield. And actually, both teams are going to take 2 or 3 deep shots downfield in the first quarter, believe it. You better believe it. The two differences offensively, New England relies more on picks and crossing routes, kind of manufactured things, similar to Peyton Manning style, Dan Marino style. But Philadelphia more so relies on their intermediate routes and the RPO. So it's going to be a good game. Super Bowl 52 in Minnesota, Eagles, Patriots. You talk about 33 or so experienced Patriot players when it comes to the big game, only like 5 or 7 for Philadelphia. But I see a team that, you know, you can just tell they study just as much, if not more, than Philadelphia. Their heads in the playbooks and in the film. They knew Atlanta's play just by the personnel in the huddle to defeat them on the final drive of the game. That's film study. Knowing your personnel. And you can go look this up, but the Patriots defensively struggle against 11 personnel. And that's what the Eagles run the most. That's the formation they run the most. And how do you help a quarterback that's not at the magnitude of Brady? A quarterback like Nick Foles? You put him in what he's comfortable. And that's the RPOs. And it's been working. You may see a guy that you think is a backup. I see a guy that he once threw his name in the MVP hat for an entire season. The Rams weren't good offensively for a while. He lost out to Alex Smith in Kansas City. I see a guy that's capable of being a starter despite, almost retiring this and being a backup that, truth be told, Nick Foles had an injured hand at training camp and preseason, didn't get those snaps. He finally played. He finally practiced with his teammates. He gets into a rhythm. So I don't think Nick Foles is a weakness in this game. Actually, I don't think anything on Philadelphia's offense should be considered a weakness, and that includes their kicker. Even though he's a rookie, Jake Elliott is money beyond 40 yards. Kind of weird to say, but if he struggles in a game, it's under 40 yards. He missed a couple extra points. He missed a couple chip shot field goals. But you get him 40 and deep, and he's absolute money. Of course, we would all say that Steven Gostkowski is a superior kicker in this ball game. His experience, he's led the league in points multiple occasions, and you know he's money. He's a reliable kicker in this game. So yeah, sure, they have the edge there. But I'm telling you, if it's deep field goals you're looking at, it's kind of a toss-up. And both, like I mentioned the special teams earlier, both sound units. They don't give up big kick returns. They don't give up big punt returns. Not a lot of times. It happens, sure. When they punt, they down you inside the 15-yard line, if not inside the 10. It's going to be a good ball game. Tom Brady's going to have to be HOF all the way in this game. He's going to have to speed the game up huddle-wise. Going to have to spread the Eagles out defensively. And he's going to have to be patient. If the Patriots can break some tackles and be patient and kind of manufacture a run game, even if it's not running the football by throwing screens or sweeps, even if they have to get cute with gadget plays, I know it's going to be tough because you have a fast defense in the Eagles that loves going side to side and they think they can beat you in any race. You're going to have to challenge it still. I mean, even if you're going to be one-dimensional, eventually at some point in the game, you still got to try to run. You can't do it for four quarters. You can't allow the best D-line in football that can rotate 8-9 guys in to tee off on your quarterback. That just can't happen. But on the other end, that Eagles O-line, they're going to control the line of scrimmage. I don't think there's anything Belichick and Matt Patricia can game plan because their players on defense are inferior to the Eagles' offensive line. It's the fact. They're that good even after losing Jason Peters. The offense is that good even without Carson Wentz. I think this is a double-digit victory for the Eagles if CW were playing. I mean it. I'd put big money on that. Wentz is playing. He's MVP of the league. Patriots defense has no shot in this game. But yeah, it is a different guy. It is Nick Foles. But you see he is capable of getting rid of the ball quick, making quick decisions, but the right decisions. So when it comes to these RPOs, it's going to be on Gilmore and Butler to jump a few of these routes. Jeffrey's good against the press, but they're going to have to take some chances. And I know the Patriots are great in the red zone, and that's how they're top five and fewest points allowed, along with Philly. Philly's just a great defense all around. The Patriots, bend. You hit the 20. That's where their strength lies as a defense. Yeah, it's going to be a good game. It's going to be exciting. Most of you think Belichick, Brady, psh, Eagles got no shot. I think Doug Peterson has a pulse on this team. I think this team is not only more talented than the Patriots on both sides of the ball, they have the advantages in the trenches. Their secondary is underrated. If both teams play like they've done all year long, the Eagles win this game. If you want to throw in the, oh, it's the Super Bowl, it's the big game, it's the Hall of Fame quarterback and a Hall of Fame head coach against a team on the up and up, I get it. Put your money on New England. I understand. History is on your side. Go for it. But if you're talking one game, everyone saw last year's Super Bowl. If you're up on the Patriots, you're not giving in. If you're up on the Patriots, you're not quitting as a coach or a player. I see the Patriots struggled against the Jaguars when they shouldn't have. Jaguars got burnt out. Tired, exhausted, gassed. Patriots took advantage. Game over. Brady is Brady. Brady is great. But he's going to take some hits. He's not going to have a comfortable pocket. He's going to have to get the ball out two and a half seconds. Look no further than 2 weeks ago when he played the Jags. Looked like they had the shackles on him. This Eagles defense is better. It really is. I want to say the Eagles win by 4 or 6 points. I know the over-under is 48 points. That's tough. I'm really leaning towards the under. A lot of people think a safe score is 24-20 or 24-17. Either way, regardless of who you're picking, those are the most popular scores I've been coming across. Radio stations, Twitter, etc. 24-20 or 24-17. And they sound about right. I mean, Patriots are favored to win by 4.5, 5 points. I put money down on this game for Philly when it was 5.5 back on Monday. Or, excuse me, the previous week. I did. I just, you know, you look at what everyone's saying about the stats and the history of the Patriots and the Super Bowl all being close games, 4 points or less. Until that overtime victory and that amazing comeback against the Falcons last year where they won by 6 in OT. I just don't see this Patriot team running the football. They'd be one-dimensional. The Eagles' corners are good tacklers, even if they don't make every single tackle, which they shouldn't because the Patriots are good. It's going to be a back-and-forth affair. I just like the team that can control the line of scrimmage, which means they can control the clock. And I'm going with the Eagles victory. And I'm trying to give you a score, even though I hate giving out scores. I'm really trying to think of one right now. And I'm... All right. Just for fun, you know I hate giving out scores. I'm going to go Philadelphia 27. 27 to New England 20. So that's still under 48. Is it under 48 points? Yeah, 47 points right there. 27-20 Philadelphia wins Super Bowl 52 with Jay Ajayi winning Super Bowl MVP.